Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us begin with singing Psalter 71, verse 1 and 3. Jehovah is my light and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright or cause my heart to fear? While God my strength, my life sustains, secure from fear, my soul remains. 1 and 3 of 71.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this evening hour can be found in the book of the Psalms, and thereof the 84th Psalm. But first let us do confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe a holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mention Psalm 84. To the chief musician upon Gittith, a psalm for the sons of Korah. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appears before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee.
Let us try to ask the Lord for His indispensable blessing. Merciful and eternal Lord, Thou whom art all-knowing, Thou whom art all-sufficient, in whose hands all things lie, and who reigneth over all things. It is in the evening of this thy Sabbath day that once again thou hast given us a privilege to be in thy house, to once again hear what Thou hast to say unto us. Lord, what would it then be a wonder if there may be a people of whom we just sang that their desire is to be in Thy house and Thy beauties to admire, and in thy temple to inquire. If there now may be a people this evening that may inquire of thee, that thou wilt instruct them, wilt teach them, and lead them in the way everlasting. A people that has only questions and does not know the answers. A people with the riddles of their life and do not know how they be solved. But they cannot leave their place in their house empty. They have come up this evening with the sigh that they may hear explain what goes on in the heart, what thou hast to say unto them, that it may be explained from the rooftops what goes on in the inner room, that they may hear in thy house if there is a way to escape, that they may hear that there is one name given under heaven by whom they must and can be saved. And Lord, and we beseech thee that thou be in our midst this evening, that new ones may be born in Zion, and that there may be a people that may be led further in those mysteries of salvation, a people that know themselves not more than like a sparrow and a swallow, no value, no worthiness in themselves, and yet no better place than in thy house. Lord, wilt thou then remember us in this evening? Give us to listen to what thou hast to say unto us. Give us to listen prayerfully, that there may be Aaron's and hers that may sigh for a little token from above, a little token of thy favor. And Lord, and all things are known unto thee. Remember the sick and the needy, those that struggle with physical weakness. Remember that young mother in hospital. Lord, wilt thou make all things well, that they may have, that they may receive this child. Lord, so far thou hast made things well, but we are so dependent on thee. And when she may listen along in this evening, that then their heart also may be explained, that they also may feel the longing to be in thy house, for there is no better place. But then thou art not bound to time or place, Lord. And that we beseech thee for all those that could not be here, that thou wilt give a little instruction from above, and those that could have been here but would not, wilt thou visit them as well, to break the heart, that the heart would not be hardened, but that it may seek thee while it is yet a time of grace. And Lord, we all need that. Remember the labors that are awaiting thy blessing in the midst of the congregation. Lord, and thou knowest that in this week that we just started, if it may be thy will, another minister will be called in the midst of this flock. And then we beseech thee, thy will be done. And Lord, could it be that this flock may receive a minister out of thy hands at thy time and in thy way? Remember the labors in the mission field, those that are at the moment there to have a visitation there. Lord, give that they may hear something of the works of thy hands, and bring them also safely back to their loved ones. Wilt thou remember the labors among the Gentiles, but also the labors among the Jews, where it seems that more and more the world is turning against the beloved for the Father's sake. But then we beseech thee, Lord, that thou wilt take it up for them, as thou hast done it always. Ah, Lord, that thou wilt stand up and that thou wilt arise, but above all, that they may be uncovered, and that they also may learn that there is but one name given under heaven by whom they must and can be saved. Bless the labors in our school community, with all that may labor and volunteer. Give praying fathers and mothers, and give students in whose heart the instruction from thy word be blessed. Bless the labors in our care home community, that also there among staff and residents there may be yet a remnant that may fear thy name. O, we look unto thee. Have mercy on us, Lord. Keep us in this evening and guide us. Give us an ear to hear thy servant, a mouth to speak, and that it may be good in thy house. There are no reasons in us, Lord. We have not deserved the least of thy blessings, but we beseech thee, remember us. In thy grace we ask, in the name and for the sake of Christ alone. Amen. While your collection be received and the Lord bless thee and thy gifts, we will sing together from Psalter 229, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. How lovely, Lord of hosts, to me the tabernacles of thy grace. O, how I long, yea, fain to see thy hallowed courts, thy dwelling place. 229, 1 through 4. Thank you. With the help of the Lord and awaiting His blessing, we want to draw your attention to God's Word, our text, as you can find that in our scripture reading, Psalm 84, and thereof verse 3. Psalm 84, the third verse, that we will read again. Yea, the sparrow has found an house, and a swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. And then we write under this text, a spiritual house. For we read it in the text, yea, the sparrow has found an house, and the swallow a nest. So a spiritual house. And then we consider in the first place, who find that house? And then we read in our text, yea, the sparrow has found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. And who are now those spiritual sparrows and swallows? And secondly, where they find their house? Even thine altars. So in the close neighborhood, close to the altars of the Lord, in that house of the Lord, of which David may say, my, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. So a spiritual house. Who find that house? And where they find that house? How dear, beloved, are the Psalms unto God's children. Why is that? Well, in the first place, because in the Psalms, you look right in the heart of God's people. In the Psalms, God's children find, in whatever frame of life they are, they find their heart explained. That's why the Psalms are so dear to them. And in the Psalms, they also find spiritual instruction for each frame of life. In the Psalms, they find correction, instruction, they find comfort, they find guidance, they find consolation, but also rebuke and all what is needed on life's pathway. Another reason why God's true people do not want to exchange the beautiful Psalms for all kinds of superficial hymns. Understand me well, there are beautiful hymns too, but that's not what I speak about. Now, one of those Psalms we have opened in this evening and read together. Who's actually the author of this psalm? Who wrote it? Well, it's not written in Psalm 84 itself. And yet, it's not unclear who wrote this psalm, because in Psalm 84, we read the same theme, the same circumstances, then we also read in Psalm 27, in 42, and in 43, in Psalm 27, and we sang already with about that in Psalter 71, that one thing have I desired of the Lord, that may will I seek, after that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life.
that in his temple I may inquire and thy beauty to see. And in Psalm 42, where the poet speaks about as a heart about to falter in his trembling agony, panting for the brooks of water, thus my soul does thirst for thee. As the heart thirsteth for the water brooks, thus my soul thirst for the living God. And in Psalm 43, the same said, thy light and thy truth to be my guide, that they may bring me unto thy holy hill. What is that a wonder? And all those psalms are written by David, the man after God's heart, so Psalm 84 also written by David, written for the chief musician to be sung in God's house, in the church, in the tabernacle, later in the temple. To be instructor to the sons of Korah, the temple choir. In which circumstances has David, the man after God's heart, written this psalm? Well, David, in this psalm and in the other ones that I mentioned that are about the same theme, David had to flee. He had to flee for Absalom, his own son. Absalom, who was after his father to take the crown and to take the throne and to climb upon the throne. There is nothing new under the sun, beloved. You and I can find our picture in Absalom back, because in paradise we have cast the Lord from his throne in our life and put a crown upon our own head. And we say it, no God and no master. And I do not want the Lord to be king in my life. I want to be boss and I want to be king in my own life. But beloved, if that continues in our life and if we die that way, oh, then we will find out when it is too late that we are no kings, but that we are slaves of sin and of the prince of darkness. And therefore today, if we hear his voice, a harden not your heart. Now, David had to flee for his son Absalom. It was not the first time that he had to flee. There were days that he had to flee for King Saul. But this time it was worse. This time it was for his own son. And why was it worse? Not only because it was his son that rebelled against him, but David knew in his life, it is because of my own fault. And then David, he is led back to what happened in his life, in the past, in the sin with the wife of his neighbor, with Bathsheba. And how he not only fell in sin, but lived in sin, until Nathan the prophet came with that parable of that ewe lamb. And then David said, that man is a man of death. But Nathan said, thou art a man. And what happened? The arrow struck his heart. And David received a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He became the guilty one before God and before his neighbor. Oh, that wonder. That now, despite of David's unfaithfulness, the Lord showed that he is and remains to be the faithful one. And that Nathan received that message from above, David, the Lord has taken thy iniquity from thee, his sin forgiven. But that doesn't mean that the Lord sees it through the fingers and that the Lord takes it easy and that the Lord says, nay. Thy sin forgiven, but David had to experience the consequences of his sin. His sin taken away, but not the consequences of his sin. The child that was born out of Bathsheba died. although the Lord had taken that child unto him in salvation, David was given to believe that. And three others of his sons were also killed: Adoniah, Amnon, and Absalom. David had to experience the consequences of his sin. And now he is fleeing for Absalom. And he fled to the other side of Jordan, to the northern part. And there he is, Psalm 42 says, in Mount Hermon, in the hill Mizar. And there he is all by himself. And there he feels himself like that deer, that hart, that is fleeing for the ones that are after him, the hunters, and that have shot their arrows at him and have wounded him. As Shimei said to her, go out, thou bloody man. The Lord has turned upon thy head all the iniquity. And David is wounded in his soul. And there he is by himself as a hart that is there on the top of the mountain, and he hears the waters below and cannot reach it, and that is in danger to perish, to die for thirst. And when David is there all by himself in Mount Hermon in the hill Mizar, then the Lord brings his thoughts back to the house of the Lord, to Jerusalem and to the tabernacle. When David cannot go up unto God's house, the Lord leads his thoughts back to his house. And what happens then? Then David may experience a holy jealousy. Then David becomes jealous of the sparrows and the swallows. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young beside thine altar, even thine altar. David led back in his thoughts to God's house, and then he says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. Ah, there can be in the life of God's children sometimes, there can be times that they come to God's house and they do not dare to leave the place empty. But you know in which circumstances God's house becomes most amiable. First of all, when the Lord comes over in his house and speaks to their hearts. Then they may say, Lord, that I may stay here, for there is no better place. And you know, when the Lord also teaches them, secondly, when there are circumstances in their life that they cannot go into God's house. Now David is experiencing that here in Psalm 84. He cannot go to God's house. May I say it simply? When his thoughts are led back to Jerusalem and the tabernacle, to where God's word be proclaimed, and where the sacraments be administered, where the altars may smoke, where the sacrifices be brought, then David experiences, I am standing outside. And that, because of my own fault. That David once again received the guilt home. And that David once again can only bow his head and bow his knees. But then the Lord gives that longing back to that restored communion with the Lord. He becomes a missing and a longing soul. Is there now such a people listening along in this evening, when there are lawful reasons to not come up into God's house, that say, oh, my heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God? Why is it that David longed for God's house, for Jerusalem? Because he wanted to go back to his house and to his family. Och, that longing was there too, of course. But that was not the main reason. No, his main reason was a longing for the house of the Lord. And why did he long for the house of the Lord? Because of all the gold and all the outward appearance of the tabernacle. No, not either. David longed back because there God's word be proclaimed and that the sacrifices be brought. And that's why he is so jealous of the sparrow and the swallow. And now the sparrow and the swallow, children, you know that you see them lots fly around your house or the barns or on the farm or wherever you live. You see them lots in our days. Those are different birds, you know that, right? The name is already different, sparrow and swallow. But we are not speaking in this evening about the differences. Yeah, there are differences, between the spiritual sparrows and the spiritual swallows. There can be many differences between God's children. There is a difference in the leading. The one is led out of the world, out of the tents of wickedness, and someone else is led out of the church, out of his pious religion. There was a jailer led out of heathen religion, and there was a Lydia led out of the Jewish religion. One from the world, one from the church. The one is led this way, the other is led that way. The Lord doesn't lead his people outside their own character either. But that's not what it is about tonight. It is about tonight, not about the differences in the leadings between God's children, but it is about the similarities. Because although the sparrow and the swallow are different birds, and there can be different circumstances in the life of God's children, in one thing, no, in many things, they are all the same in what they learn, be it well, for the time and for eternity. Whether they are brought from the world or from the church, they all learn misery, deliverance, and gratitude. And they all may show, as Paul says in Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit, we would say the marks of grace. Shall we mention a number of those similarities in this evening? Now, in the first place, the sparrow and the swallow are not birds that typically fly high. No, you see them fly low. They are not like the eagles, for example, that fly high and that build their nest on the top of the mountains and that circle from a great height to oversee and look down from a great height upon the houses and upon the tabernacle. David and God's children, they learn something about it, that they do not look from on high upon the house of the Lord. They do not belong to a people that in pride stands far above the church and the people of the church and say, but I do not need that house of the Lord, and I do not need that Bible, and I do not need that religion. Or that maybe say, no, yeah, once in a while or once a Sunday, that is more than enough for me. No, David had learned something what it is, and God's people learned something what it is not to fly high. And that is a lesson, beloved. Because by nature, we are all in our pride. In paradise, we all stood up against the Lord. And we all want to be as God, knowing good and evil. If by nature, we all stand so high and we fly so high. And we know it all so good. Saul was also a man. He was way too high with himself. And he knew it all way too good. You know when that changed in his life, children? When the Lord stopped him before Damascus. Then all that he knew fell away, and he did not know it anymore. Lord, whom art thou? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Then instead of flying high like the eagles, may I say it simply, children, they learn to fly low, like the sparrow and the swallow. They are humbled under God's mighty hand. They learn to know themselves in the light of God's majesty and holiness, and they learn to know themselves in the light of God's mercy and long sufferings. And that humbles under his mighty hand, like a sparrow and a swallow that find and that build a house in the neighborhood of the altars in God's house. There is a longing. Yeah, that's a clear mark of grace. When now the Lord sheds his love in the heart, when now the Lord opens the heart and grant grace, you know what you then may receive? A love for the Lord, an honor of God, a love for his house, a love for his people. Then there comes a desire to be under God's word. Those people don't leave the place empty in church if it is not absolutely necessary. You know why? Because there in God's house they have a desire that the Lord will have explained what goes on in their heart. There in God's house they hope that they may hear something from the rooftops explained, what in the quietness of the inner chamber is experienced, that they have a desire that they may hear the voice of him whom their soul loveth and whom they cannot miss anymore. That is a people that cannot hold it out in the world anymore. They cannot hold it out in sin or in their outward piety and religion anymore. That is a people that is humbled under God's mighty hand. They do not fly so high anymore to stand above this one and that one, judging this one and that one. No, that is a people that can only condemn themselves and say, Lord, here stands, here sits the chiefest, the greatest of the sinners. And shall I then go a little further? The sparrow and the swallow are those big birds, children. No. Small ones. And in the realm of nature, they had hardly any value. The Lord Jesus says it, that are two sparrows that are sold for one farthing, and five sparrows, you got them on a deal for two farthings. So they are worth next to nothing. They have no value. But now David says, they may still be in God's house, and I cannot go up. Oh, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, thy hallowed courts to see. Because the sparrow and the swallow have no soul for eternity, and they still can still be there. But I have a precious soul. And my God, oh God, how stands the case now with me? It's about their soul created for eternity. They long to be in God's house. Not a big bird that can show off with the feathers. Not a beautiful bird. Children, if you see in your garden the beautiful robins, you probably tell father, mother, look, they're a robin, so beautiful. But when you see a sparrow, you won't call your father or your mother, right? And say, oh, there is a sparrow. No. Those small birds, they have for human eye no beauty. And now David learns to know himself that way. Small. No beauty. No. They learn to know. And there's another clear mark of grace. They learn to know what there is in their heart. No beauty. That we should have desired it. With the Song of Solomon, with the bride, they learn, I am black, I am filthy, I have sinned against thy grace, I have done that which is evil in thy sight. That's how they see themselves. And when they are in that frame, beloved, they do not know yet and they cannot say yet, I am black, but commonly when the Lord reveals that unto them, where have they then been? Then they have been even thine altars. Then they may look as we hope to see in our second thought away from them, because when now the Lord explains unto the soul that they are black, but commonly, and that they are precious in the eye of the Lord. Why? Because there has been one, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Isaiah wrote already and testified, there was no beauty in him that we should have desired him, that there may be now those spiritual sparrows and swallows desired by him to be saved. No beauty outwardly, but that's not the most important. You know where the beauty of God's people lies. Of those spiritual sparrows and swallows, David says it in Psalm 45, that the beauty is inward, in their heart. The king's daughter is glorious within by heart renewing grace. Now that's now why David says, far from God's house, yea, even the sparrow and the swallow find a house and build a nest. But I, unworthy one, sinned it all away, having sinned myself outside. I'm not worthy the least of his blessing. Another clear mark of grace. Why is David so jealous of the sparrow and the swallow? And why does David now long for God's house? Now what can God's children find? They receive in God's house from time to time. That they receive spiritual food. That they may receive a spiritual ear. Oh, there David on Mount Hermon and Helmeitzer. In the height he cannot even reach the water that he hears below. There is no food, there is no drink. Ah, and the Lord sometimes brings his people in a lonely place, right, to empty them right out of all they have and they are. To make them so unworthy. And to make them so jealous. Then it can be that when they wake up in the Sunday morning, or when they prepare to God's house in the Sunday evening, that they may say, Lord, may I now hear in thy house who I am, whom thou art, and who Christ is. May I now hear in God's house my name. Wilt thou now deal honestly with me? May there now be spiritual food and drink. May I now hear from the rooftops explain what goes on in my heart. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself. Rather with the sparrow and the swallow in God's house is the desire than 1,000 days, one day in the house, better than 1,000 in the tents of the wickedness. You cannot hold it out anymore. They cannot live anymore outside that communion with the Lord. And then they experience, and that is something God's children from all ages experience. Huh? When you now would place that woman of Canaan beside David, they could speak heart to heart about it. That woman of Canaan, you know, children who came there, Matthew 15. Lord, she came for her daughter. She says, Lord, my daughter. The need of her daughter had become her need. And her doctor was able to help. And when she came at the end, she heard about the great physician, the Lord Jesus. And she fled unto him. But you know what that woman had to learn? That the cause was not the need of her daughter, but that had to become a personal case. Lord, help me. And then she had to learn that she had no rights either, like the sparrow and the swallow, that there was no beauty in her why the Lord would have desired her. But then she may say in that longing with David, yea, the dogs eat also from the crumbs that fall. And now David says, the sparrow and the swallow, they may sometimes find those crumbs in the house of the Lord. And I am missing it all here, outside. And then the next mark that we see in the swallow and the sparrow, children, and you see now the sparrows and the swallows in your yard, and you go outside and you stretch out your hand, and they come all and sit on your hand, right or not? Of course not. When you do one step closer to the sparrows, then they fly away. And the swallow, when you see them fly, there is never rest. They fly restlessly back and forth. Now that is also a mark in the life of all of God's children. Rest, no peace is found because of my sin. Restless is the heart, Augustine said, until it find rest in thee. Oh, when the Lord works in your heart, young and old. And David knew that there in Mount Hermon and Helmitzer. And he says, I can relate to the sparrow and I can relate to the swallow. They had no rest. And I have no rest because something is missing in my life. Something needs to be solved yet. I have no rest until I may go in and raise that song of thankfulness and praise. David can relate to the sparrow and the swallow. Oh, he may know that the Lord had spoken to his heart. David, your sin have been forgiven. But when David is now far away from God's house, David cannot hold on to that, can he? David doesn't have his pockets full. But David says, I need to be brought back to the house and in that restored communion with the Lord. Restless. You know who also experienced that? Asaph. And there were times in his life the rest was gone. You know why? Because he needed to be led back into the sanctuary. And outside that sanctuary there was no rest. He looked at this one and he looked at that one and he said, oh, my trouble is there every morning. Until he learned, but thou, O God, my soul's deep yearning, for thee my troubled soul is burning. Now that is now why David is jealous of the sparrow and the swallow. A burning heart, my heart longs earnestly the living courts to see. And when now the spirit you will sparrows and swallows, when now David cannot find rest on the top of the mountains anymore, when David is in danger of his life, and when now the people of the Lord may learn in their own life, I am in danger of my life. I must die and I cannot die. And if the Lord should his mark iniquity, I cannot stand, that there is no rest. You see, people. that they cannot even rest with what has happened in the past. David did not say in Psalm 84, yeah, no problem that I am far from the temple, because I know what happened in my life. I know what the Lord has spoken to me, so there is no trouble in my life. No. David did not forget what the Lord has done in his life. David did not forget that in the younger years he was already, had already learned, the Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want, he makes me down to lie. But that was not the experience here in Psalm 84. David could not hold on to that. He knew that needs to be renewed. I need to be brought back. And that is a one-sided work of the Lord. David did not say, no problem, I just go back to Jerusalem. No. David could not bring himself back. He needed to be brought back in a right way. Is there in Cortland yet a people that knows that? Rest nor peace. You know what is the desire? And why David is now jealous of the sparrow and the swallow, another clear mark of grace. Because, children, have you ever seen a sparrow all by himself, all day long? And have you ever seen a swallow all by himself, all day long? No, they are always together. You know why? That's where they live. Together, swallows together, the sparrows together, and when you see them around the house in the yard or in the barn, you see always a whole bunch of them flying back and forth. Yeah, I know here, and maybe you are preaching along already, you say, yeah, but Reverend, what then about Psalm 102, where David says, I am like a lonely sparrow upon the housetop. That's true, there are those times in the inner room where they cry out unto the living God, where they pour out their heart and cry out all the needy and sorrowful to the I cry. And that's now why their longing is to be there where God's people are gathered. David in Hilmeitzer, as that lonely sparrow upon the housetop, jealous upon the sparrows and the swallows in the tabernacle, in the house of the Lord, because there he longs to be, where the Lord will speak to their heart, and where they may be with God's people, gathered in God's house, and where they from time to time may speak heart to heart about what the Lord has given under his word, and what the Lord has spoken to their soul. Yes, there are those days that they are so discouraged, as a sparrow alone upon the housetop, that they say with an Elijah in the wilderness, Lord, it seems I'm the only one left here. That was self-pity. And self-pity is pride. And what does then the Lord say? No, Elijah, there are still 7,000 that have not bent their knees before Baal. That is now why David is jealous. He longs to be in the gatherings of God's people. He longs to be there where God's church may be gathered. Why? And one characteristic, one mark more. Why is he jealous of the sparrow and the swallow? Because of the way the swallow and the sparrow chatter. Children, have you ever heard the swallow and the sparrow chirp? Do they sing as beautiful as a nightingale? No, they cannot. The nightingale, they can sing when they sit among the thorns and the thistles. Then they can yet sing. But the swallow and the sparrow can't. God's people can't. There is a people also in church life, I don't hope they are here or in Norwich or wherever, There is a type of a religion that is a people that can always sing. They seem like nightingales in the church, but I can't help it. I'm not jealous of them. You? I'm not jealous of them, because Hezekiah said in his life, when he was so oppressed, and when he walked with death in his shoes, and he turned his face to the wall, then he says, I am like a crane and a swallow that chatter and that mourn like a dove. And when now the brothers, elders and deacons go on house visitation, then they listen not for the singing of a nightingale. No, they hear, they listen for the chattering of the sparrow and the swallow. For that's where it starts with. And he is something of a poor and a needy one that may cry out unto the living God, Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. And as the David is so longing for the sparrow and for the swallow, so jealous, because they have no soul and they can be in God's house. But I have a soul and I cannot be. And I want thing more before we sing. Why is David so jealous of them? Well, he says they lay their young there. They built a nest. They dwell there. They can always be in the house of the Lord. And I am far away. Oh, fathers, mothers, there lies also a lesson. Grandfathers, grandmothers, is it now you desire to instruct and to have your young beside the altars of the Lord, in the house of the Lord? Is it now your desire that your children be instructed in the fear of the Lord, in the family, in the school that the Lord has given us, and in the church as a triangle that needs to be closed? Is it now your desire? What a privilege. Or young people, maybe, I don't hope so, but maybe there are among our young people that think in their heart, wait till I am 18, till I wait till I'm out of the house, then I will fly out of that house of the Lord and you will never see me there again. Then I hope that the Lord will shoot an arrow this evening in your heart, and that you may become like the sparrow and the swallow, longing and yearning and desiring to be in the house of the Lord, the best place. And what a privilege when fathers and mothers may see that their children may stay with the truth, that they don't drift away. And that usually doesn't go so fast, that they go slowly and surely. But what a wonderful fathers and mothers if they may notice that there are those marks in the life of the children, and that they have a desire to be a spiritual sparrow and a spiritual swallow. Are there those among us, the sparrow and the swallow, that chatter, that chirp, that not so nice like the young ravens, but the Lord hears the ravens, the young ravens, the sparrow and the swallow, when they cry? And that the Lord will not leave himself without witness. Oh, what a privileged people. But how sad if you miss it. And just some simple marks this evening, that our children can also understand it. Are there now those sparrows and swallows here? That they may say, Lord, I heard my picture. Or must you say, I don't want to have anything to do with that? How poor are you then, traveling for own account to eternity? Because if it is not your desire here to be in God's house, then you will not be in that eternal house of God above. Because what God's children may experience above, that is learned here below. Do you understand? You say, how do I now know that? Well, secondly, also in the place where they find their nest. But shall we sing first? Psalter 115, 1 and 4. As pants the heart for streams of living water, And why, O my soul, art thou cast down within me? 1 and 4 of 1:15. Do now the sparrow and the swallow in daily life build a nest? Maybe you have them too. Around the house. You know where they built them? In the gutters. Just under the roof tiles. Or under the gutter. Where they are protected and safe. Where do now those spiritual sparrows and swallows build a nest? Where do they now desire to live? Because a house and a nest that speaks about to live, they're not on holiday there. They don't have a sleepover there, no. They built a nest, they want to dwell, to live there. Where do now God's children desire to live? Then David cries out, "Oh Lord." This is longing. Oh, a word of one letter. And I know there are many people, they mock with those that have the experiential truth. And they say, "Oh, those are just people of O and A, of Och and Ach." But I wish, young and old, that that would be your life. Oh, that speaks about longing. That speaks about the desire that says, "Unto whom shall I go? Thou hast the words of life eternal." Oh Lord, capital letter, the covenant God, triune God who made that covenant of grace that came in the place of the covenant of works that the Lord has given in paradise, but that we have broken, destroyed. And now we cannot be saved by the works anymore. Paradise we could. The Lord said, do that and ye shall live. But now we can only be saved by grace. The just shall live by faith, by grace alone. And that is a lifelong lesson. That's why now David says, oh Lord, that eternal covenant that points him unto that counsel of peace, and to that secret, that eternal will of God to the salvation of sinners. Oh Lord, him who from the stillness of eternity was ahead of sin and Satan, and has asked the question in that council of peace, and how can I, my people whom I love from eternity, how can they now be saved? And I now the second person, the Lord Jesus Christ, said, I come to do thy will. How he now offered himself to be despised and rejected. And he now said, and I will now bear the guilt of that people, also of David. And I will bear the wrath of God. That now thy people, O Father, may live. O Lord. And that based on his finished work is now applied by the Spirit. That's why now, that's the work of the Spirit, and that God's children may reveal those marks of grace in themselves. They don't have that in themselves. They don't fly low but high. Then they are not small, but then they are big in themselves. Then they are not ugly, we would say. Then they step around like peacocks. Then they think that they are something before the Lord. But the sparrow and the swallow, not desired, but desired by the Lord. O Lord of hosts, of those heavenly hosts, O Lord of the angels, that says. And children, there are many angels, right? There are the cherubim that watch over God's honor, and there are the seraphim that sing about God's honor, that day and night sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I can go too deep into that, eh? The angels, the Lord has sent them to minister, ministering spirits to serve God's children. Those angels, they were sent out. There was Gabriel sent out to Zacharias and to Mary. And there were those seraphim that sang in Ephrata's field. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, good will, good pleasure towards man. There were those angels that were sent in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea at Easter to instruct those women and those mourning disciples. What are ye seeking? The living among the dead. Where are those angels, those cherubim embroidered upon the veil between the holy and the most holy place, that say, no one can see God outside of Christ. And not to mention more, those angels will be sent out the last day. And when it will be the last day, young and old, then you will see the angels everywhere. What are they coming to do? They are coming to do to gather you. And to place you either on the right, on the left side, or on the right side of the Lord. And to gather the unconverted, pious or brutish, the unconverted in the world or in the church, and to bind them together and to cast them out into that eternal fire. and to bring God's people before God's countenance, where they may here enter in, where they may be wonder what they have learned in the beginning here on earth, why and how, when they have to do with the holy and righteous God. O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt do with me according to what I deserve, then the angel must be sent and I must be cast out. But why is David now jealous of the sparrow and the swallow? And I repeat that time and again. Why? Because they dwell even near the altar. No, that's not what we read. You have to read carefully. Even thine altars, plural. There were more altars in the temple. There was that altar of burnt offering in the courts, where now the lambs, where now the sheep, where now the bulls were killed and burnt entirely. It speaks about the wrath of God. That God is a God of justice, but that also points away unto Christ. As a lamb brought to the slaughter to die under the heat of God's wrath, thus he said it, if you seek me, let these go bound. Brought to the slaughter, brought to Golgotha, crucified in the heat of being forsaken by God and man. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? He forsaken. That now his people, those spiritual sparrows and swallows, may receive the fruit of that burnt offering altar. But also of that other altar that you find in the holy place, namely the altar of incense. And that's a picture of prayer that also points away unto the Lord Jesus, children. Daily was praying to his Father. Father, I pray for those whom thou hast given me. Father, I want that those may be there where I am. Where he is praying still, based on the pierced hands and pierced side, he presents it to his Father. Father, there lies the foundation. Not because in the beauty, not in the way they chatter, no. But there lies the foundation of my people's salvation. I have finished. That altar of incense, that's why Paul may say he is at the right hand of his Father, praying for his people. And what is that for a people? May I mention another one that found this picture in the sparrow and the swallow? No, that was not the Pharisee. He was walking like a peacock in the tabernacle, in the temple. Lord, I am so good. Look to my feathers, how I can pray. But no, that was that publican, smiting his breast. Lord, there is the cause. Oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O Lord of hosts, even thine altars. Where now David desired to be instructed time and again and more, and that is an ongoing matter in the life of God's people. They cannot say, and now I know it, and now I have it, and now I am done, and I've learned enough. No, the more they learn, the less they know. The more they must say, I am of yesterday, I know nothing. And the more they desire to be in God's house. And the Queen of Sheba, she learned lots. But when she heard Solomon, she said, half hasn't been told it. God's people may learn from time to time, but when they may see his countenance fair, they must say, half hasn't been told me. O Lord, and then he says, my King and my God. See, you may say, my. Because he first receives like a beggar, and then he may own. Oh, I know there is the first love in the life of God's children. The time of the first love, where now the Lord makes them poor and needy, and where the Lord leaves himself not without witness, and sometimes speaks, and that there is no evening that they dare to go to sleep unless they have heard the voice of their beloved. And they may sometimes jump further than they have learned, and they say, "My Lord and my God." And then it is not up to us to take that from them. The Lord will take care of his people, and he will learn them in what way that needs to happen. As a Thomas, he could not do it with the faith of the other disciples either. And I hope you don't stand miles above Thomas and say, Thomas, that is not the way you do. I hope there may be so many Thomases here, not because we glorify doubt, but Thomas had one thing. He could not do it with what others told him. He needed to hear it out of the mouth of the Lord himself. My Lord, my King, and my God. What a wonder. Only when they are led by the Spirit. And where can they now sing with right, my King and my God, when they now have passed those altars? When they have now seen, when they have now received Christ in the soul, when he is now revealed unto them, when he now may intercede between a holy judge and an unholy sinner, I have found the ransom. Then they may say, my King, because then the Spirit testifies with their spirit. And then they may say, and the tears, my King, my God, not superficially, but founded and grounded. And how you know that? Well, that it is a people that doesn't only say my God, but they also say my King. And what does that mean? When he is now King, then I am subject, and the subject has to obey the King, right? So that points that us finally to the life of sanctification. That is a people that doesn't only learn to hate sin, but also flee from sin. That is a people that doesn't only desire to walk in his commandments, but also begins to do it in dependency on the Lord. And I must summarize, I see. I think the clock is a little ahead. The life of sanctification. In a desire to walk in his footsteps as the love of those subjects. And you know it. Does the King always speak? Does the King always be with the subjects? No, children, you know that. But when now the subjects at moments may meet the King and see the King, what lives in their heart then? A gladness and a joy that you cannot describe. When now the spiritual King at moments may meet his people, then there comes a joy in their hearts that no one can describe. That can only be experienced. And I wish you may all experience it. At times, after lies boring the text, but we must close. Do we now feel our picture in the sparrow and the swallow? Build a nest. May I mention one person in the Bible who experienced that? That there was his house. You can find him in Genesis 26, verse 25. That was Isaac. What did Isaac do? In the fear of the Lord, he first built an altar. And what do we read then? And there he pitched his tent. And there he digged a well. Family, work, church together. Isaac did not have Psalm 84 yet. But Isaac had 84 in his heart. Do you have it too in your heart? Do you understand it? Or are you yet strange of it? The Lord still works. Be not despondent, young and old. When you now go home, children, and you ask the Lord tonight, and young people, may I be or become the spirit you will sparrow, the spirit you will swallow, that may dwell in thy house. Those are not the great ones, eh? No. Not the high ones, no. But those that say there is no better place. And then God's house and God's service becomes here the best place. And they don't watch all the time at the clock, eh? They say, oh, it's almost time. When can I go home? But then they have those moments that they long. When may I be there? Where the church begins and where the church never goes out. That they do not need to say, the sparrow finds a house and the swallow, and I am strange of it. That they may all be there. And then faith may come beholding, never outside anymore, like David. But all wonder, always inside. And then eternity is needed to be wondered at. May the Lord grant that and give that, children young and old, and to each of us, for his great name's sake. Amen. Almighty Lord, we hear the wonder in the text, yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow built a nest, and they are so privileged. Lord, may that be the longing of young and old, for then thou wilt give and instruct. We acknowledge thee for thy help and word. Go with us. The week which we've entered in, grant all that is needed. For the time, prepare us for eternity. We ask for Christ's sake alone. Amen. 120. Stanza 4, at thy sacred altar bending, God, my boundless joy. The fourth of 120.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.